Welcome to The Awareness Space, the mental and emotional health podcast, exploring human experience. I'm Owen Morgan, a self-awareness and well-being coach. I focus my approach on self-awareness, self-compassion, polyvagal theory, and acceptance and commitment therapy. With a trauma-informed approach and a collaborative nature with my clients, transformation can take place. We unpack all of this and more on this podcast. We dive into how cultivating compassion, safety, and non-judgment can create a steady, resilient, and thriving life. We dive into conversations on all things trauma recovery, consciousness, the nervous system, and psychology. We invite well-being advocates, therapists, and those with recovery stories to share this space and inspire hope for others. Enjoy the one-to-one conversations and the panel shows as we enter the awareness space. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Awareness Space podcast, a place where I sit down with friends from the well-being industry and dive into topics that we are passionate about. Brand new intro, done it for the first time. Hope you like. This is our revamped format of the show, so they're shorter, and we'll also be re-releasing all the previous episodes, or the majority of them, in a short format. So if you've missed any of the longer shows, you'll be able to listen to them in a bite-sized version, which would be super, super cool. And the best of all is I'm bringing back pretty much everybody at some point to talk about all kinds of things. And you're going to get used to Rob, because I have a feeling he'll be back many times. We are sitting back down with Rob Carney. You would have heard his original episode a couple of releases ago, so go back and check it out. Today, we're talking about something very specific. But before that, welcome back, Rob. How are we doing?
Oh, and it's a pleasure to be here. And like I was saying before, you know, you do such a phenomenal job putting in the time and energy into this podcast, always adjusting, always making the improvements that make this the best opportunity for the audience to learn something. So I'm doing fantastic and I'm excited to dive in today.
Amazing stuff. Thank you so much. And, you know, last time we touched on your story, I encourage people, I might actually re-release the story part of your chat as well. But we have very similar passions as well, as far as, you know, getting out there in nature, getting in the dirt and sort of the gut health side of things, which we'll talk about today. But for anybody that hasn't actually just gone back and listened to the original one, just give us a sense of kind of what you're up to sort of right now with your business, stuff that you have been doing that may or may not come back. Give us a sense of Rob, what you're doing in the industry.
Absolutely. Well, I'll give the very quick version of my story. About the past 11 years or so has been me figuring out my own health and sharing that with other people. And along that path has been working with a bunch of different holistic practitioners and really getting into agriculture and recognizing how much our soil health, everything that we eat, what did that food eat? So if we're eating lettuce, what did the lettuce eat? How does that affect us? And how can I support other people in not only improving their health, but also in growing their own food? And that's a big passion of mine, just knowing how much, and we were chatting before, being in the garden is such a spiritual, health, mental, physical, full systems activated experience. So how can we support more people in feeling that? Because we can talk about, oh, it's good to grow your own food for all these scientific benefits, all this type of stuff, but the spiritual side doesn't get mentioned in the science. So that's a big passion of mine, teaching people how to grow their own food, optimizing their health, and having the ability to connect with like-minded people in that process. So that's really where I'm going right now. I love working with flowers, vegetables, fruits, you name it. So that's my passion at the moment.
Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. You know, say recently that I really get this passion. Again, we'll dive into that briefly a little bit later. But just to give a sense, because what I really like is that, you know, obviously you're part of the superfood side of things and pushing that forward as well. So you're very much the kind of person that knows that, you know, there's a real power in getting the nutrients that we may not be able to get at that level in the ground, but also making sure that we obviously still eat from the ground. So rather than just being superfoods or just being from the ground, that combination can really take our holistic health up a level.
Yes, 100%. And we tend to live in an age now where it's black or white. It's like, you know, it's one extreme or the other. It's vegan or carnivore. Like there tends to be this got to be all in or not. And so the way I look at things is, like you said, yeah, we want to grow the most of our own food or get it locally. That's the ideal world. But there's also things like spirulina, which I'm not going to be growing in Boston, Massachusetts. And I know that that's one of the greatest nutrient dense foods on the planet. So if I can blend high quality supplementation, because there's a lot of garbage supplement companies out there, which is, I spent a lot of years researching, finding the best ones. If I can blend supplementation, proper supplementation, with growing my own food and supporting local organic farms, that's going to be optimizing my nutrition, optimizing my energy levels, my sleep, and all these different facets that, you know, we can think about nutrition as, oh, that's going to help me with my workout. I think that's what a lot of people think, or they think, oh, it's going to help with digestion, but it really affects everything. What we put into our body is recreating our cells and our brain, our gut, our hands, our feet. So it all works itself together. And so I tell people, hey, it doesn't have to be one extreme or the other. There can be a little bit of a balance between the two.
Yeah, isn't that kind of just modern day life? You're so right. It's always, you know, we want to slot into a group or a tribe, don't we? Rather than just realizing we're a human race who all need to take care of these vessels that we're carrying around with us, with our consciousness inside. But it's just, yeah, it's just so powerful, isn't it? And I think you're right. You know, in the UK, you know, with the growing here, are some of my neighbors at the allotment. Hey, you know, could I grow this? And I'm like, you would not be able to do that in the UK. And that kind of says it all, really, doesn't it? Is that, you know, you have to kind of, there's limits to where you are. And it's important actually to know maybe what you're missing out on that you could do yourself, but also when is the right time, like you said, spirulina, to go out and do that. But it's just, yeah, I love that your social media, everything you're doing, and the tribe that you built around yourself, just trying to push that message, because, you know, we're both kind of young guys, of course, and we're out there doing the good thing in the ground. People think it's an old person thing, don't they? So, you know, what's the scene like over there in Boston and stuff? Is there young people getting into the organic farming and gardening?
Yeah, I'd say it is definitely, it's not common, but I'd say it is the younger generation that are people, let's say the millennial generation, in which is my generation. I don't know what that age range is. I think it's like 24 to 39 or 40 or something like that. I'm not sure though, but I'm kind of in the middle there. But yeah, I think it's important that the younger generation is getting into that, because, you know, my grandparents, great grandparents, to them, a difference between organic and non-organic. So if we are intentional, knowing that, hey, we don't want to use chemicals in our food. And not only are the chemicals affecting us, but they're affecting all the little microorganisms. And that's what keeps us healthy as a whole. If we're spraying pesticides on things, yeah, you don't have some weeds. Maybe you don't have some ants or whatever else is eating your crops. But you're also killing the worms. You're killing the bees, the pollinators. And so if we have this mindful approach towards, I'm going to choose organic farming, because not only because it's just better for my health, it's better for the planet as a whole, in the whole ecology of everything that exists there. So the scene in Boston at this point, it's improving, but I think there's still a long way to go. You know, when I walk through my neighborhoods, I'd say less than 1% of people have some sort of vegetable garden, which, you know, that's not a very good number, but hey, there are some. So there's a lot of room to grow, which is part of my passion and sharing that message, because I see the change and I know we need it. And especially as we see with the past couple of years of all this craziness that's been going on, it's more important than ever to be self-sustaining and have some level of ability to support yourself if there's a supply chain issue or a food shortage or whatever the case may be. We want to have something to fall back on, or ideally to live off of.
Yes, tendency we have on each other, which is natural anyway as a human species. But, you know, like we know with everything with the pandemic, it's kind of like you realize we're probably too dependent on each other to a certain extent. And you're right, you know, back in the depending on what obviously belief system you come from, but back in the day when, you know, you had to grow your own crops and obviously be out hunting animals or whatever it may be. It's kind of this like little baby community, everyone's part of the community and they're all doing their bit to go and get the fish from the stream or whatever. It's kind of, we can still kind of implement, maybe not the, you know, going with sticks into the stream, but you know what I mean? Doing, like you say, growing crops. And, you know, we had our first strawberry come out after a couple of months having this allotment, and the little one ate it for the first time, a real life strawberry we grew that hasn't, we know nothing's happened to it. No one's touched it. We just put normal cold water to get rid of some of the dirt, and then it went. And it was just the most gorgeous, beautiful moment to see him savor the sweetness of this amazing thing that we'd grown together as a family. And I think it's, we know there's mental health benefits, but I think it really brings people together too. I think once you're a budding gardener, every gardener you meet is a potential new best friend. And I think that's important too, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, like you said about eating that first strawberry, I always tell people is grow something you like to eat. So if you're just growing stuff just to grow stuff and you don't eat it, that level of connection is not going to be as intimate. Where if we're growing something we eat, like I like lettuce. I have a lot of lettuce plants because I love to have unlimited lettuce. If I want lettuce to make a salad or put on my burger, whatever it is, I want to be able to go out there and not be like, oh, should I only have two? Because there's only, you know, it's like, I don't want to have to ration my lettuce. I want to be like, oh, I eat a lot of lettuce. I'm going to grow a lot of lettuce. And when, like you said, when you go out and eat the first time you grew something, you eat that yourself, it's almost like all these light bulbs are and these gears are turning that maybe we're a little stagnant for most of our life. It's like systems just turn on. And for me, it was like this moment of like, holy moly, why have I waited this long in my life to start growing something? Because this is how it's supposed to be done. In my opinion, we are supposed to have this deep connection with our food, growing it from a seed or a seedling, watering it every day, nurturing it, taking care of it, watching it grow, maybe going away for a weekend. You come back and it's twice as big as it was before, and just watching the life cycle of these plants and having that level of connection and learning the language of these plants. That's a big thing. You know, people will say, oh, I can't grow plants because they always die. Well, we need to spend some time to make a connection with that plant and learn their language, because they don't speak in English or Japanese or Chinese or German or whatever language that we humans speak. They speak in a different language. So if we're seeing a plant wilt, that's usually a sign that it's maybe dehydrated. If it's turning yellow or discolored, it probably is missing some sort of nutrients. And then we can know when my plant is turning yellow, what does that mean? If it's turning white, what does that mean? And you usually do a little bit of research and find, oh, it's missing calcium, it's missing phosphorus, it's missing magnesium. And we start to learn this language. And so I tell people, you know, when a plant dies or it's dying or doesn't look healthy, it's not that you're incapable of taking care of it, which is sometimes people say, oh, I just can't grow something. This is my fault. It's just not for me. Take a little time to learn the language of the plant. Take a little time to do a little bit of research on the plant and just say, hey, what does it mean if my cucumber turns white? What does it mean if my tomato turns yellow? And just start to do a little bit of research. And the first year that we're gardening or farming is always going to be the most difficult, probably be the most stressful, because things are going to be dying on us because we don't know these things. But also our soil over time will start to improve. If we just keep adding more organic matter into that, it's going to improve. So be patient with it, be persistent with it, be consistent with it. It's just like growing any form of life. It needs that tender, loving connection. And if we keep showing up for our plants every day, we keep learning, we keep adapting, we keep moving through any challenges, we're going to figure it out. But we got to recognize, hey, I may get it wrong in the beginning, quote unquote wrong. I'm going to have some learning curves, and that's okay. We just keep on going.
Yeah, so true. I'm already aware that I'm going to lose quite a lot of my allotments growth in this first season, but you know, we're pretty novice at it and I don't really care. You know, we lose what we lose. And these amazing birds that I can't remember what species they are, but they always visit. I'm always digging, landscaping. They're always popping down and looking for stuff. And they're probably eating some of our crops, but I don't mind. That's cool. How cool is that? We get to feed them. So it's just, I love it. And I think there's something that you said there, which I think is really important, is this, there's something special, I think, in life, but with anything, isn't it? Something that takes time, but it's rewarding all the way through. And I think that's what gardening does. It's always rewarding all the way through. And we can apply that to other elements of our life. You know, as long as we're looking for those glimmers and those bits of hope and joy and amazingness, and anything that we're doing as we go, the end bit's going to be the best. But those other bits are absolutely epic as well. And I think it, I think what it does when you get out there, it helps you cultivate that psychology of, yeah, I want to tend to this. This matters, you know? And when things matter, it does make life feel a lot more meaningful and a lot more connective. What are your thoughts on that? That's the bit I've loved about it.
Yeah. And I think that what I love about gardening is that all these lessons we learn from gardening, the patience, persistence, consistency, are going to inevitably lead to other areas of our life. Let's just say, for example, we're building a business. In the beginning, you're planting a seed. The seed is the idea. Now you got to give it some water. You got to give it some food. You got to take care of it. Then maybe you see a little sprout, but nobody else really sees the sprout yet because they're not looking at it as close as you do. And then all of a sudden it becomes a little seedling. Now maybe some people are starting to notice, but most people aren't going to notice until it's a full-blown plant giving you those fruits and veggies. And that's when the world is going to see. And then we hear the term overnight success. It's like, well, you didn't see the part where it's just a little seed that we had to water every day. Same thing with going to the gym. First time we go to the gym, let's say we've never worked out before. We plant the seed by going. Then we start getting a little stronger. Maybe we say, hey, you know, I'm starting to get a little bit stronger. But other people don't notice yet because it's just a little sprout. Then it turns into a seedling. And so my point is that no matter what we compare this to, the lessons we learn in the garden, everything we do in time that has great value is going to take time. And if we're patient, persistent, and consistent, we can learn those lessons from the garden and apply them to anything else we're doing.
Are you wanting to learn how self-awareness and self-compassion can help transform your life? As a self-awareness and well-being coach, my passion is supporting people to explore how self-awareness, self-compassion, and understanding their body and mind can boost their well-being and improve their life as a whole. My mission is to share what I have learned and support people to cultivate inner peace, steadiness, and connection. I used to feel lonely, unworthy, anxious, disconnected, and stuck in my life. I want to hold a space for you to explore your thoughts, emotions, sensations, and reactions. Working with you to unpack what holds you back or shuts you down. Let's begin to cultivate self-awareness and an understanding of your experience of life. We want to set in motion the shift towards peace, self-love, and a deep sense of belief in who you are and what you need. If you are feeling lost, disconnected, or without a sense of direction or hope, then I'm here to welcome you to your awareness space. It is time to free yourself of the programs and patterns that drive your life. For more of my well-being coaching, visit www.theawarenessspace.com.
The thing I also want to ask you about, see if you've experienced this, just for anybody that's listening that kind of gets it. But I found when I'm down there for a few hours and I'm digging away and I'm planting some stuff in and watering and pulling out the bindweed, whatever it may be, I have this weird thing when I get back where I feel exhausted, but in like a light way, like I've been, my energy has been pulled out and then given me a reset, but I'm so used to the heavy energy that I feel flat. But then the next day I feel like I'm shedding off. There might be some real good science in there with the energy of the soil. But the reason I ask you this, to see if you feel that, is that I was watching a show yesterday about amazing places in the UK. And she was talking about the science of negative ions with the sea. So when you're near the sea, the negative ions kind of balance out your energy in your body or whatever. So I'm just presuming that maybe there's something in that the energy, the ions in the ground somehow when you're in that space and getting in there does something to your biology in a way that can only help us in the long run, even though it's like a weird tiredness. What's your thoughts on that?
I think you're 100% spot on. And I think that nature has this unique ability to, like you said, it's even hard to put into words. It charges us, but also makes us tired because we're working. Like we're exerting energy by working, but it's a different type of feeling. And I think of like when you're in the sun, a lot of times I'm in the sun, I'm absorbing the sun, I'm feeling great, I'm feeling the warmth, I'm feeling the energy stimulating my body. And then when I go inside after, you know, a couple hours or however long it's been, I've been outside, it is like this tired, but it's a different type of tired. It's like my body is being reset. And like you said, kind of like a shedding, it's almost like energy being circulated, like it's supposed to be. And so when I'm gardening, I'm always barefoot. I don't use gloves unless I'm working with thorns. Like I want my body as fully immersed in nature as possible. Sometimes, you know, depending on how hot it is, I do my best to go shirtless. A lot of times I wear a hat just because I'm outside a lot. And, you know, my face tends to be the part that gets the most burned because it's always exposed if I'm wearing a shirt. So I protect my skin. I go in the shade, out in the sun, and just kind of have this balance of when I feel my body getting hot, go in the shade for a bit. And then I find that that is a really good balance. But I think the barefoot, like I said, the negative ions and having the hands in the soil, and we can get into how all that helps our microbiome, you know, with our gut, because there are so many bacteria out there. We are more bacteria than human cells. And that's a really important distinction to think about, that there is more bacteria than human cells in and on our body, which is crazy. And most of us, we've kind of come into this time of, you know, being in a bubble where we want to sanitize everything. We want to clean everything. We use hand sanitizer, antibiotics, all these things, which are great when used properly. But when people are using antibacterial soap, every time they wash their hands 5 to 10 to 15 times a day, that's wreaking havoc on our body. So when we're going into the garden and scooping up soil with our bare hands, and we see the worms, we see all the little critters in there, there's also microscopic bacteria that we cannot see. And we have bacteria on our skin, we have bacteria in our body, in our mouth, in our gut. And so when we're handling that, we're getting some of these healthy bacteria. And even there's also some of the quote unquote bad bacteria, which is also what we need, because we need resistance. Just like we go to the gym to push weights, which is resistance. You could call it a bad stress because it's breaking down our muscles. But just like our muscles need resistance, our immune system, our bacteria need resistance. So we're being combated and interacting with a combination of good and quote unquote bad bacteria that is inherently improving every aspect of our life. And that goes down into our gut. So I always tell people, I remember there's a holistic nutritionist I work with, that she said if she could prescribe people to eat soil, she would, because of the bacteria in there. So I say, if you're growing your own food and you have high quality soil, like when I take out a carrot and it's covered in soil, I'm like, all right. And I eat the whole thing. Don't wash it off. Because a lot of times we're washing off with tap water, and that's a whole other rabbit hole we're going to dive into. And then we're putting, you know, this tap water on our food. So I say, if you're growing your own food, you have healthy organic soil, you know, don't just, I don't know, I'm not going to say eat mounds and handfuls of soil, but if there's some dirt, some soil on your food, I don't wipe it off. I take every bite of that.
It's very interesting, especially, yeah, what you're saying from the microbiome. You know, we think about that saying, you know, you're putting down your throat, and, you know, that's the way you'd be doing it. But I love what you're talking about there. I guess absorption in many ways through the skin and everything else that we're doing, which is really powerful. And now I'm feeling a little bit bad about washing my strawberry now. Oh, I should have.
Well, this is part of the process. Now, next time you'll see it. Okay.
There really wasn't much on it. So, yeah, the little one had his. So I think we'd wash him because we're just freaking out because he's a child, and he's probably be fine as well. But when I had mine today, maybe I should have just, yeah, I should have just rocked out, because that was my first one. So that's interesting. So are we saying that this bacteria we're having, just going back to what I said, so is it an absorption through the skin, or is it something we'll be touching various, not our eyes or our mouth, or can it actually go through skin as well? Are we absorbing?
Yeah. Everything. So yes, we have bacteria on our hands, every part of our body. There's, you know, bacteria, and it's microscopic. So it's hard to sometimes tangibly understand things that we can't see, because again, we're so eye dominant species. Like, so much of our senses are focused on our eyesight. So a lot of people need to see something to believe it. But if we can, you know, go into the own research, that's something I'll dive into here. But, you know, for the most part, people think of gut health as, you know, where a lot of this bacteria and stuff exists, which is where a lot of it exists. And so when we're thinking about proper gut health, a lot of that comes from the soil. It comes from eating organic foods, because if we're using pesticides, antibiotics, let's say, and cattle, which is a big thing with non-organic farms, they're shoving so many animals so close together, it's such an unnatural environment that they have to, I don't want to say have to, they choose to pump antibiotics in there because they don't want their animals to get sick, which, yeah, that's one method to knock your animal sick, or you could just let them be out in the pasture like they're supposed to, and they probably won't get sick that way. So if we're consuming non-organic foods, that's going to be wreaking havoc on our gut between the pesticides, the antibiotics, and all that. Now, if we're growing our own food, we have healthy soil, we're going to be getting probiotics from there. We're also going to be getting enzymes from there. So when I think of gut health, I think of probiotics and enzymes. Enzymes being kind of what break things down. Probiotics also help to break things down. Different variations. I won't get too scientific there. But I like to say it's good to eat a combination of raw and cooked foods. Again, it doesn't need to be extreme. Some people say, oh, you got to go raw vegan. Some people say, oh, you got to go everything cooked. I think there's pros and cons to both. And I think a combination of some. I like a light cooking on certain things. I think it's a great way to improve our overall gut health, which is going to help with digestion. You know, it's going to help with our mood, our neurotransmitters, our hormones. So much stems from our gut, our immune system. And so if we can start by eating high quality foods, drinking high quality water, eliminating tap water, getting good soil for our foods, getting good sleep to help things recover, and lowering stress, I'd say those are a good place to start. Because, you know, people, a lot of times when they're stressed, there's generally two variations of that. People either go to eat a lot of food, a lot of junk food, typically high in sugar, or like me, I lose my appetite. Because our stress is so connected to our digestive system, because our sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight mode, when that's activated, where our body is not intending to eat. We're preparing to fight or flee. So it's either, hey, we're going to fight this lion, or we're going to run like heck to get away from this thing. And so we're not worrying about digestion. We're shutting the digestive system down. We're putting blood flow to the extremities. So stress, again, a whole other topic to get into, is the root cause, in my belief, of just about every single common disease, because we live in this chronic stress as opposed to the acute stress we used to live in. So when it comes to gut health, reduce stress, improve your sleep, drink quality water, eat quality foods, move your body, breathe properly, you'll probably be all right.
You know what's really amazing about all the things you said, that list is all, pretty much all of the lists that you said can take place in a garden, can take place in an allotment. You know, you're getting in that bacteria, you're getting the energy from the ground, you are, you know, eating untarnished things, and you're mentally there, flow state, you know, you're present. We don't really have time to talk about that, but there is that element of you're really there, you're really present. You know, when you're digging, you can't really look at your phone because your hand's covered in dirt and it's hard to touch the buttons. So you kind of, you're there, and there's other people that walk by. Oh, morning. Oh, I love your pond. That's what I get. We've got an amazing pond. And they chat to us about that. So it's kind of, it taps into all of mental, emotional, the connected into community, like-minded people. So I think there's a real testament, obviously, to nature, but more specifically, something you've cultivated in nature, your space that is yours, that you have ownership and tender care for, isn't it? I think that wraps up to today's episode really nicely, isn't it? That space creates all the basic human needs, I think, that so many of us need.
I agree. And one final thought on that is there's a very important balance between cultivating our own and letting nature be. We came from nature and we need nature. And I think that a lot of people, when they start to get into gardening, they want to control everything, yeah. Which is, again, we kind of live in this age where we want to control everything, own everything. But when I see wildflowers or something that may be, well, it may be a weed, I don't know, but a weed is all just based on our own human perception of what we deem as good or bad. We deem weeds as bad, but I usually let things grow out. Is that going to turn into a wildflower? Because if so, that's going to help my garden. It's going to help with pollinators. So I just want to invite people that as you start on this gardening journey, let nature do its thing. And again, just like we're learning our cultivated crops, in the first year, let things grow out a little bit. See what they're going to turn into. Because then you'll notice, oh, next year, that actually turns into a wildflower. So I'm not going to pluck that. Oh, but that one's just a grass that's just going to take up space. So I'm going to pull that one. And so find that balance. Cultivation and nature and the two together are a beautiful thing.
It's so funny to say that. Every person I speak to at the allotment, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm a super neat gardener, you know, I'm going to make everything. I'm always getting that soil. I'm going to keep turfing around it. And I'm like, you don't want to be turfing that too much. And also they say, good luck with that, because all of us felt that way. And now we kind of control it a bit. We kind of let it teach us what we need to know about the space. So I've learned a lot from the budding elders who know a lot more about me. But so I'm letting go of some of that. But then you just see random stuff popping up that other people have planted over the years. How cool is that? But like, why the hell is there a potato one in our strawberry bit? It's like, that's probably the person before that. And that seed just been rocking out there. And I love that. It's like the history of this space has been cultivated by all these different humans. And we should honor those other humans, I say, which is a nice cheesy way to think about it.
I agree. And, you know, just for people listening that are thinking about starting, I say, you know, just start where you are, use what you have. If you only have a little space, if you have a sunny windowsill, put a little herb in there. Again, some herb that you like. If you got a deck with a railing, get some railing boxes. If you got some nice soil to work in the ground, work in there, but just start where you are, use what you have. It doesn't have to be this giant plot. Start small and grow from there, because you can always grow more, but it's sometimes hard to start with a ton, get overwhelmed, and then scale back. So start where you are, use what you have. I do have a free ebook called Yes, You Can Grow Your Own Food. And you can go to bit.ly/growfoodebook, all lowercase, and that'll get your free ebook download. You just type in your name and email, it'll get emailed right to your inbox. So that's something I put together because people would say, oh, I can't grow my food. How do I start? So it's like a 13-page quick little thing. So I'd love people to check that out as well.
Oh, that's amazing, man. Thanks so much. I didn't realize about that. That's so cool. So yeah, please. If I remember, I'll put it in the show notes. Sorry if I forget. But that's amazing. Where can we find you online then? Is it mostly Instagram? Where can people check you
out? Yeah, the best place is Instagram, Whole Health Connections, all one word, WHOLE Health Connections with an S. You can also go to my website, wholehealthconnects.com. And the reason it's not the full one is because the domain name is $2,500. And I figured, hey, I'll drop the ION and save $2,500. So Whole Health Connections on Instagram, wholehealthconnects.com for my website. And just shoot me a message. You know, I love to chat about all things health. You know, Organic Superfoods is a company I'm partnering with that's going plastic free, really aligns with my mission, vision, and values. And, you know, sharing the love of healthy living and growing our own food.
Amazing stuff. Yeah. Thanks so much. And just, you know, just to finish up before we say goodbye, you know, this plant behind me, mate, you know, so anybody that's seen any of the trailers on my Instagram, go and check them out. There's a plant behind me, which I have there for guests to, you know, look at and enjoy with the beach scene. But also my clients, my coaching clients find it very therapeutic. But this girl, Rhea, I'm trying to remember her full name, but it's Rhea for short because it's based on the Latin. She was like about this tall. I know you can't see this if you're listening, but check it out. And in about a year, boom. And I've been looking after her really, really well. And it's an absolute joy every morning to look at that and walk by and say, I did that. And it's a really, really good sense of, it's just for me. No one needs to know. It's just for me, you know?
Right.
So I just want to leave Rhea as this parting gift for today because she's amazing. But yeah, thank you so much. You know, I'm really excited about this new podcast format and having friends that I really care about coming on and sharing the good stuff. So I want to thank you for all the time you give me, having me on your show. Absolutely love that. And I'm really looking forward to letting our relationship with us and the audience grow. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Owen. I appreciate you having me on, man. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Cheers, buddy. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening at home. I really hope you enjoy these shorter form podcasts. And also, as you heard, there was a trailer for my coaching business. So if you're interested in working with me in any way, please go and check out the website. A lot of videos on there that talk about my coaching technique. I'd absolutely love to help anybody listening with anything that they're going through. So free chemistry calls, everybody. So you can just hop on Zoom and we'll get to know each other. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. And we will see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope it has been of value. Please do subscribe and click follow on whichever platform you listen on. I have well-being courses, coaching services, and other informative content over at www.theawarenessspace.com. Thank you again. Until next time, I wish you a wonderful day.